You can go from idea to prototype quite rapidly with these amazing tools powered by AI. Coming from a user-centered approach, understanding the problem we are trying to solve, and then kind of working backwards and trying to use the technology in a way to cut through the noise, to surface the right information, to make things more inclusive is one thing that I feel is worth exploring.
Welcome to Leading the Shift, a podcast from Microsoft Azure where we hear from the people at the forefront of data, AI, and cloud technologies. I'm your host, Susan Ettlinger.
There are hundreds of examples dating back centuries of how artists and creatives have adapted new mediums, developed new techniques, and appropriated old ones. From the cave painters to street artists, from the quill pen to spray paint and digital video, artists continually discover new ways to express themselves and connect. And that connection is so important because a lot of people find art intimidating. And let's face it, a lot of people feel the same way about AI. So today we're going to talk about how AI can actually help bridge that gap by connecting the physical and digital experience. My guest is Alain Bruch, Global Head of Digital Platforms at Art Basel, an international art fair staged annually in Basel, Switzerland, Miami Beach, Hong Kong, and Paris. It's one of the preeminent art fairs in the world and a must-see for anyone who's passionate or even just curious about modern and contemporary art. We're going to talk about how Art Basel is using AI to cut through the noise and foster connection among visitors, artworks, and galleries. Oh, and speaking of cutting and noise, my city seems to have chosen this exact moment to take a chainsaw to a tree right outside my window. So we decided we just roll with it and chalk it up to life imitating art. Alain, welcome to Leading the Shift.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm beyond excited to be here with you today and dive into the conversation.
Yeah, no, welcome. I'm so excited about this. I would call myself an art enthusiast. I certainly am not an expert, but this is going to be a great conversation. And one of the things I think is so interesting about you is that you have a background that spans sort of digital business and design. And of course, you work in the art world. Can you talk a little bit just about your own kind of career journey and how you found yourself at Art Basel?
Of course. I think it's been quite a journey, so to say. I grew up in a designer's family, so I've been always kind of been in touch early on with the Swiss international design, Wolfgang Weingart, Armin Hoffmann books, and so on. And even my father took me to one of the Art Basel shows back then, and I walked into the unlimited halls. And it was the moment where basically, I had this spark in my eyes and I was like, oh, it would be really nice to do something like that one time. But obviously, didn't know anything that it would take that direction. So I started off in finance, actually, next to my studies, 6 years, and working at one of the largest Swiss banks here in Switzerland, doing private jet and yacht financing. Incredible experience, fast-paced, with senior people I could learn a lot from. Well, I think quite early I learned that in order to have meaningful work and kind of get into value work in that sense, I need to do something, to work smart, and kind of I got really into how can I improve certain processes, digitizing, kind of loan documentation, but also improving processes and lead times that are digital signatures. And it's been incredible that also back then I had leaders who really empowered me to take on these mini projects. But then there was a pivotal moment, I would say, when I was in Sweden doing my exchange and I learned about functional and really minimalistic design and the aesthetics around that. That's probably the time when I rediscovered the creative side of things and I decided to follow the passion and utilize my keen interest in technology and everything around that I've been having in kind of like ever since I could think of using computers when I got the old Photoshop licenses for my father and so on to play around with. So I dove into creative coding and then took the decision to do my postgrad in visual communication and design, where I've been reminded several times that it's not in kind of tech and informatic class or study, but a design degree. But I kept going. It was so interesting to see how kind of technology development, code and design, typographic elements could merge into immersive experiences, even in the process. And I think that's probably the time I realized that I found my Venn diagram around business design and technology, and then had a few different stages in building boilerplates, digital workflows for a small agency, being self-employed. So quite a journey until I really felt, after a large company working independently, a small design studio, maybe a mid-sized company would be nice. And that's just when our boss had popped up and it was like, why not? Like, I had this feeling around walking into the hall and having this kind of impressive awe of experience that I felt at the right place. And here we are talking about digital transformation and AI and technology, which is fascinating. If I think back at my thesis around creative coding and how we translate the design process into nowadays world with algorithms and the interplay. So super excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting because your journey, it parallels so much that's happened in the industry and in sort of the history of art and the history of design and technology over the past 50 some years, you know, that convergence of art, technology, design, and it's now kind of all coming to a head in your role at Art Basel. So maybe tell us a little bit just about Art Basel for people who are listening who aren't as familiar with the property.
So at Art Basel, we stage the world's premier art fairs, really connecting variety of stakeholders and audiences, from collectors, galleries, and artists, even kind of our partners that can come onto the show. And we've really earned a global reputation through dedicated curation, immersive exhibitions. But it's really about creating these meaningful experiences across all the continents on a global scale, and also really creating meaningful experiences and connections among our audiences, bringing everyone together and to power the world of art as an ecosystem as such.
Yeah. In fact, I read an article in Fast Company recently about how Art Basel has made a very deliberate decision to bring AI into the flagship digital experience. And I think that's really interesting, especially at this moment when AI is still, you know, relatively new. I mean, of course, the history of AI goes back 70 years, but the moment that we're in is very unique. And, you know, there's hesitancy and understandably, any new technology is going to make people stop and sort of think about what the implications are. But Art Basel has made this very deliberate decision around the guest experience. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know you've built an app and there's a lot kind of to dive into.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating journey, especially with what's been going on around AI. I think it's always interesting to kind of sense where you are in adoption. But I think we had like two elements that we were observing in the market. One is kind of a lot of challenges where you pull information. So I think our events there of a size and magnitude that can be overwhelming, especially when you're new to a market. I mean, you've been very nicely introducing the intimidation factor around technology and art, which is something that we observe every day. So there is so much going on, from 290 galleries to see 1,000 of artworks, kind of different sectors. What do they mean? There is events inside, outside our shows happening, VIP programming for collectors, public program, talks, conversations. Like we've been observing people spending weeks in preparing for our shows. And back then, when also Craig Hepburn, Chief Digital Officer, back then joined us at Art Basel, we pretty much aligned on our vision also with Peter Smart from Fantasy Interactive. I remember sitting kind of outside a venue in Paris and brainstorming all around that. And we felt that actually now with GPT and the kind of AI coming into the play on Azure, we've got the huge opportunity to cut through that noise. And it basically came about with a quick prototype. We started to test out building our schedules, and I think we've been amazed back then. And I can't imagine, like, it's been a year now, a bit more in that process, and even the landscape already shifted so much again. But it's been a game changer back then.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. I mean, you know, I remember going to art or museums as a child with my grandmother, and, you know, I go to galleries a lot now and go to museums a lot now. And I have a very close friend who's a gallerist, and he's my art companion. So if I go, to a gallery, you know, and I look at a piece, he will invariably say, oh, did you notice this? Did you notice that? And of course the answer is always, no, I did not notice that. Thank you. This is why you're with me. And, you know, and part of the experience, especially in a museum or a big art fair, is, you know, you go in, you see something that appeals to you, you take a picture of that piece, and then you look for invariably for the artist. Who's the artist? There's a card. It describes the artist, the date the piece was made, a little bit about it. And then maybe if it's an installation, you're in a museum, you take a picture of that. And then by the time you're done, you know, my iPhone is filled with all these disconnected pieces of information that don't really help me understand anything. And I've left shows so many times where I'd say, oh God, did you see this incredible, I don't know, Micheline Thomas piece? And somebody would say, oh yeah, that was incredible. Did you see the other one? And I'd say, what other one? Right? And so this idea of having something to help the visitor through an actual experience of being in a gallery, being at a fair, being in a museum, is so, so helpful. So let's talk a little bit about that. There are two pieces to the app, as I understand it, right? The companion piece that I think I was just sort of alluding to, and the lens. Let's start with the companion.
So the AI companion is maybe kind of the main aspect around the conversational experience that we wanted to introduce. And it's really for us to prompt people into discovery and get them excited and curious. We feel like AI should be here to surface the world of the wealth of information that we have as our Basel, and really bring it and make it accessible to the audiences. From how do you plan your show, your week, which events to attend, but also learning more about a certain artist. So it's nice that we found a medium in this conversational companion experience that's always with you in your pocket and always at hand and at your fingertips when you need it, and you can ask it questions right out of your mind. And within that, we have the Art Basel lens, which through the lens of technology, we want to make it more accessible. And it's really not to replace the physical experience, but maybe amplifying or enhancing is the right expression for it. So how often have you found yourself, as you say, in a museum, looking at the description, and suddenly you start to, and you look at it at a like a certain work of art in a different way? So I think it's, you can look at it twice. Like, you have the first impression, makes it curious, and then you have technology as an additional layer to surface you a wealth of information so you can actually dig into and learn more about the philosophy of the artist, their techniques, their background, their heritage, and all of that. So I think both of these kind of, let's say, experiences work very closely within the Art Basel app as such.
So if I understand correctly, the Art Basel companion is a chat functionality where you can ask questions and learn more about specific artists. And then the lens is really, and so that's more about the experience and the wayfinding. And then the lens is more about a particular piece of art to better understand that piece.
Exactly, 100%.
Got it.
It's similar. Like, I had mutual feeling when you just talked about your photo roll and capturing the work and then the nameplate. It's something that I've been observing in all the shows and in all the galleries. Even kind of tapped into that myself, trying to pull up a photo again that I've seen somewhere, and then I have to scroll through 1,000 kind of private photos to find it again. But also sometimes I just like on the spot to learn more how these works relate to each other, and to get a sense of, okay, I'd like to actually have a conversation with the gallerist about that now, which in the beginning I might not have the right set of information to really start a conversation, and obviously don't want to kind of sound,
uneducated
in some way or so on, right?
No, I understand that. There are a few things more intimidating than going up to a gallerist and asking a question about a piece, you know? there's a little bit of a barrier you have to overcome, at least for me. But I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting about it, at least about the sort of interplay of these two pieces and the way that you came about them, is that what you did walking through the gallery, walking through the galleries and the show, it's kind of an ethnography, really, right? Because you're watching people as they interact with these pieces, as they interact with the space, as they sort of go about their visit. And you're drawing conclusions, and that informs the digital experience that you built. And I think, you know, that's very much a best practice around, you know, how we develop technology for people, which is really to spend as much time as we can trying to understand the unique experiences that they have, the barriers that they have, the things that light them up. The other thing I think is really interesting about these two kind of aspects of the app is that the companion is based on chat, which is, of course, you know, conversational technology, and the lens is based on computer vision, and it's using two very distinct parts or types of AI in order to be able to develop that more connected digital experience.
Exactly, which is a fascinating opportunity for us to explore both sides. So with computer vision, I think it's really about making the information more accessible that you have in front of you, and kind of we're working with a similarity and confidence score, which match makes the works that we have in our database. So I think it's quite fascinating to see that even when you have a similar work in a collection that is kind of quite similar to the one next to it, we surface both results. In that sense, so that you have multiple matches. And if one example could be like a portrait image of the same artist that look alike. So it's an interesting way for us to make it really interactive and playful, but also to help the user to surface the wealth of kind of similarities across the board that we're showcasing with our galleries.
So are there any specific examples of sort of insights that you found or challenges that you had, or, you know, just sort of as you were envisioning the app, designing the app, building the app?
I think we learned that we're probably earlier in adoption than we thought when looking at the broader market, which we were kind of quite conscious of as we started to build out and test prototypes quite early on in the process. However, it's probably we're still tipping at the very surface level of the iceberg when it comes to using conversational experiences and kind of like the AI companion as a chat. So we're making it really easy for people kind of to get into the experience with standard prompts, like building the schedule. You want to learn more about the artist when you're on the artist detail page or the artwork detail page. So with one tap, they start the conversational experience and learn more. However, there's much more that the people could actually harness. Like, I've got the budget of a certain amount. Please recommend me Japanese artists at the show. And I feel like a big learning was that now with storytelling and kind of really getting people aboard on our journey, we can continue to educate them around technology and how to really harness and amplify their experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like a conversation in a way with the visitors around all of this technology and what's possible. You know, you can't throw, I mean, even if you had unlimited budget and unlimited time, you couldn't necessarily, like, it would be too much, right? People need to kind of learn how to interact with the app. You need to get those insights into how they use it. That needs to inform your process. It feels like there is a, I don't know if it's a natural cadence, but there's some kind of cadence to how people absorb these technologies and learn to use them. And, you know, if we look back at, you know, we look back at the internet, we look back at mobile, we look back at some of these big shifts that have happened in the market, even the, you know, all the way back to the PC, we've always taken, you know, as humans, we've always taken some time to get used to the technology. And even with all of the resources in the world, if you put, you know, if you move too fast and make it too complex or make it too big, that almost defeats the purpose, right?
Absolutely. And I think maybe another item I'd like to mention here is that in the beginning, it felt quite abstract to a lot of people. But as soon as they got the final product in their hand, they were like, oh, wow, this is terrific. Probably the sleekest kind of onboarding and app experience I've ever witnessed in the art and tech space. And before that, they were always a bit unsure, and you have kind of this digital transformation change management process, even internally with our colleagues, where it seemed to be kind of quite clear where the experience would be going. But as soon as it's out there, it's been a game changer. And I would say the people that were curious enough to kind of really get going, they had a really fun time.
Yeah. No, that, you know, what you just said, it really resonates, because, you know, with AI, the nature of AI is such that, you know, the development process is so different from every other technology that's come before. And so there is this sense that, you know, you until a certain point, everything is hypothetical. Like, we can build an app and the app can do these things, and wouldn't it be wonderful if, and here's some Figma, or, you know, here's some comps, and here's a sense of what the flow might look like. But until it's real and people have it in their hands and they use it in the environment, it doesn't really hit. And that, it, you know, this is, you know, not just about the Art Basel Companion, but really about a lot of different AI technologies. We don't really know how they'll behave and how people will behave with them until we see that relationship. And that's where kind of, I think, the magic can happen.
I think it's really about the magic, because it feels magical as such. And I think it's the worst it can be, it only will get better. So I think that's quite promising as we look towards the future.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, it's not, I think the app can improve the experience not only for the visitors, but for other stakeholders like the gallerists, for example, the galleries and others. Can you talk about sort of how you're thinking about that as well?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, we went out with the app, but there is so much more that we're planning in the background also for our galleries. I think with the app, it's really that we provide a frictionless way to engage with art, being it for collectors, but then also to reach out to gallerists. We're breaking the barrier. We're making the entire environment less intimidating with it, which hopefully also kind of leads to the right conversations for our gallerists and the right leads. So I really strongly believe that through technology, we can increase engagement, making the entire, let's say, environment more inclusive and personalized, matchmaking the right people with each other and kind of creating these meaningful connections. Where we see already kind of now matchmaking being happening, and then off they go and have kind of their own relationship in kind of getting to know more of the works of certain artists and so on, which is really beautiful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So it must be complex, though, to kind of figure out how to, you know, tag all these pieces and how to kind of build that experience, given the data, given APIs. Like, what has that experience been like for you?
I think it's been a journey as well. So I think it's nice, even as we used Azure kind of with the different, let's say, like different models that we also kind of started to improve on our platform, the data accuracy and personalization improved a lot, which has been of incredible help. And we know that it's a bit about garbage in, garbage out, and kind of AI is only as good as the data it is. So we've been quite lucky that we have a wealth amount of information, not only on our editorial content, but also the information that the galleries provide when they upload certain artworks that they host on the art discovery experience on our app. And it's really about connecting the right dots to shape different narratives that AI can pick up on.
You know, one of the things I think is just interesting, and, you know, as I said earlier, the impetus for the podcast is that we're all learning at the same time. And I think, you know, it's so important to share what we're learning as we're learning and help the industry kind of get better. Is there anything, you know, that you would point to in your discovery journey of building the app that you would share with listeners?
I think now, even as the landscape evolved further, you can go from idea to prototype quite rapidly with these amazing kind of tools that are also powered by AI. I think coming from a user-centered approach, understanding the problem you're trying to solve, and then kind of working backwards and trying to use the technology in a way to cut through the noise, to surface the right information, to make things more inclusive is probably one thing that I feel is worth exploring. And then it's the similar items around digital transformation to get going and be confident in your vision and start to reiterate over and over again, kind of speak to people and start to refine and shape it and really get the products out there being tested. That's how you feel. Like we've been with the prototypes already. That's been invaluable in the process.
Yeah, yeah. So face your fear.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Face your fear. And I think at one point we were chatting and you said lead through the noise, which I thought was such a great phrase, you know?
Well, I think suddenly, like even in organizations, the closer you get to a product launch, the more nervous people get, like especially also kind of internally. And I think you need to kind of stay confident and build out your insights, have data ready to kind of prove that you're on the right track, and just stay laser focused and cut through the noise. Because you spend months discussing concepts and building that strategy and confidence. So I think, it's important to get the things out there. Because there is so much more we can do. And I really hope that there is a lot of people who take the aspiration to build new things and experiences around that. Because it's nice when you build something that really sparks people's eyes when they use products. And I think we're at something really, we're in a very incredible moment of time at the moment where we can do that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's important to stop and savor it. So, Alain, I think the next show coming up is Basel, right? The flagship.
Yeah, the main show of all, our flagship show in Basel in June. Really looking forward to that. So quite exciting.
Yeah, are you going to walk the halls and watch people's eyes light up?
Yeah, of course. So I think it's going to be an interesting audience, especially when we think about the Art Basel lens. So I'm really curious to drive adoption and engagement. People are really excited about it, which gets me equally excited simultaneously on my side. So really looking forward to that.
Well, if you ever need somebody to come to the show and just monitor the visitor experience, you know who to call.
I'd love to bring you to the Basel show, the grand mothership of all.
That's great. Well, thank you, Alain. This has been so delightful. I'm really, you know, I have to say, like, I'm really excited about this. I feel like this is such a perfect use case for bridging that physical and digital experience. And also, you know, one that is a great example of how these technologies can actually augment experience as opposed to replace. I think there's a lot of potential here, and I love what you said about sort of, you know, facing your fear and, you know, leading through the noise, because I think that there's a lot that we don't know on the other side, but so much potential as well. So thank you for having this chat.
Well, thank you for the kind words and the amazing conversation. Really grateful to be here. And I hope it inspires others to have a thoughtful approach in using AI to kind of really create amazing experiences.
I agree. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Wow. Okay. So many thoughts. The irony of the Chainsaw Symphony during our conversation is kind of a great example of what it means to lead through the noise. One thing Alain said that I bet a lot of us can relate to is that nerves can run high the closer you get to a product launch. And that's the precise point when, as a leader, you need to stay laser focused, have your data ready, trust in your technology, and cut through the noise. Alain shared two other insights I'd like to end with. The first is how important it is to understand the problem you're trying to solve and then work backwards. And the second is how important it is to get things out there, because there's so much more you can do. It might not be perfect, and you'll learn and iterate, and the models and tools and horizon will keep shifting, but it gets you in the game. And the best part is when you see that same spark that you had when you were a little kid, But this time, it's reflected in the eyes of your customers. That's when you know you're on the right path. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as I'm sure you know, new podcasts live and die on engagement. So please like, comment, share, tell your friends, and let us know what you'd like to hear about. We're listening. If you'd like to learn more about how people and organizations are innovating with Microsoft Azure, visit azure.microsoft.com. The Leading the Shift podcast is a place for experts to share their insights and opinions. As students of the future of technology, Microsoft values inputs from a diverse set of voices. That said, the opinions and findings of our guests are their own, and they may not necessarily reflect Microsoft's own research or positions. Leading the Shift is a production of Microsoft Azure. I'm your host, Susan Ettlinger. Our executive producers are Haley Meehan, Aaron Russell, Eric Williams, and me. Production support provided by the incredible team at Indigo Slate.